from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. Chatty House is lit right now. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. If you've never been to the Chatty House before, I recommend you take a jaunt over there right now. Go to youtube.com/ESPN1320 and just read the rolling comments alongside the video. That's the chat. We will pull up some of those chats. Sometimes we'll take topics from the chat. Good group of folks. Love hanging out there. Love reading what's going on. There's a discussion about Jonathan Kuminga happening right now that is...
It's a little
wild.
It's a little wild.
It's not like here's. I don't want to. So Mark Nash in our YouTube chat. Shout out to Mark. Appreciate you watching. He said that the Kings should trade Harrison Barnes, Kevin Huerter, and 2 firsts for Jonathan Kuminga.
Multiple firsts.
So I don't want to. Here's the thing. I don't want. This is not the worst idea I've ever heard in my life. I don't want this to come across in a mocking way. Like, let's break this down and let's talk about it as a concept. Because Mark just said in the chat, Jonathan Kuminga, if you know ball, Jonathan Kuminga can play 4 positions. I watch a lot of Warriors basketball, I promise. No, he can't.
Well, and if one of those is left out, he can.
Stop. So... We and we're on a little bit different sides of this because I'm higher on Jonathan Kuminga than you are. You think he's closer to out of the league than being in the starting lineup.
That was a year ago. Like at this point, like he's proven that he's a rotational player, but he's not a rotational player on a good team.
Sure.
At this point in his career, and like I liken him right now to a bunch of dudes who played for the Detroit Pistons. Like he can put up numbers. Mm-hmm. But can he impact winning at this point in his career? And the answer is probably not nearly as much as like a lot of Warriors fans would think, but also just in general.
And that's what Kuminga is still 21.
Yeah.
And that is where his argument lies, I think. And that is where I think he's coming from. And Mark, if you're not, I'm trying to help you out here, pal. But so if you disagree with me here, then I got nothing for you. But I'm trying to get into the eyes of where that makes sense, because you're right. On the surface, it doesn't. Like Jonathan Kuminga, it's really clear, is not ready to take on the role of a player that the Kings need. Now, Jonathan Kuminga in 4 or 5 years, maybe.
Maybe 2 years,
sure.
Yeah.
The idealized version of Jonathan Kuminga, yes, is exactly what the Kings need, because the idealized version of Jonathan Kuminga is can handle the ball, can knock down a three. When you're late in the shot clock and you need somebody who is big and strong and jumps high to get into the lane and get you a bucket or get to the free throw line, then 100%. That is the ceiling for Jonathan Kuminga. And then as a defender, I mean, we've seen him lock up Jason Tatum in big spots. It's just not consistent enough. But as a defender, again, you see this super high ceiling, and all of a sudden you're going, dude, there's a two-way superstar here. So I understand where somebody would go, hey, the Kings should acquire this guy for their two biggest contracts that could be traded and a bunch of first-round picks, or a couple of first-round picks. I don't want to misconstrue. A couple first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
I get why that's enticing, but now let's go to reality. And the reality is what you just said. The reality is, hey, Jonathan Kuminga is probably not there.
No.
At least not yet. Not where he's cutting at the exact right time, and he's taking a dribble handoff, and he's knocking down a three off the dribble, and he's playing really sound defense, and he's just not, like, that's what, because look, as much as the Kings could use him like that, so could Golden State.
Yes.
They could really desperately use a player like that, especially given where the core of their team is headed age-wise.
Yes.
So if they're willing to give him up, that's probably a sign that he's not the player the Kings need right now. I hope I properly rode the fence there.
Yeah, like, look, I don't think he's a bad player. And like, look, every player has to develop. And that's something that, like, we talked about with even, I talked about it with, about Luka yesterday. Like, people, like, we are harsh on Luka. And mm-hmm. as a guy who loves to watch basketball, I don't love watching Luka play. But we also have to understand he's 25 years old and he's getting better. And he's proving that he is the generational talent that people mm-hmm. talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, that's not like that's not who Kuminga is yet. Kuminga is a player that has a ton of room to grow, mm-hmm. which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also potential for him to never reach that, and for him to reach the statistical pinnacle that people think he might reach,
mm-hmm.
and still not be an impactful basketball player on the court,
mm-hmm.
and that's a problem. Like,
and this ties into, so let's reel this in, because I don't think the Warriors are trading Kuminga to the Kings for that that package. I think Golden State, from everything I hear and know, they want to hold on to him. Now, if a team comes in with a godfather offer because that team is like, we need Jonathan Kuminga, then sure, they'll move him.
Yeah,
but I don't think they're aiming to move him. So let's bring this back and let's relate this to the Kings. I think we can take this conversation about Jonathan Kuminga and apply that to pick a young player. Pick a player in the draft.
Any young player?
Any player that you're going, hey, upside, needs development. I love the upside, though. That's not where Sacramento is. There's too much urgency for them to go, yeah, we'll take a flyer on this guy for a couple of years, and if he doesn't work out, then we'll move on and we'll try this again later. You don't have a couple of years to let a guy like Jonathan Kuminga or any other player. That's why when we talk about a draft pick for them, it's like, yeah, they're way more likely to move that pick because whoever they take in the draft, A, they don't know what he is in the NBA, and B, they don't have time to figure it out. They need to make some kind of substantial jump now.
Yes.
Not in 3 years. And that's, again, to move this away from Jonathan Kuminga and bring it to the Kings and something more relevant, that's going to color a lot of the conversations we have throughout this offseason.
Yes. It's that the number 13 pick is going to take 2 to 3 years, and you don't know if you're getting anything, where the number 13th pick might be worth a guy who is the sixth or seventh man in your rotation, who's 26 years old and can do a bunch of stuff, but isn't a star somewhere, and someone's going to go, like, look, I will give up a really good player to go move to 13. He's not a great player,
mm-hmm.
but he's under contract, and you can take him off my hands. Mm-hmm. And I will continuously go back to this in, like, the 2016 draft. The Kings traded Marco Bellinelli for the number 22 pick in the NBA draft. Marco Bellinelli is a rotational player in the NBA at that point. He is a 6'7", 8" man, great shooter off the bench, right? That's what they were able to get. The Kings need to do that trade in reverse, or they need to use that trade, that pick, to go get something much bigger, use it in a much bigger package,
mm-hmm.
Trade to go get a star-level player with other first-round picks and contracts and stuff like that. That's where the Kings are at.
Mm-hmm.
That there is no mistaking, like, where they are at. They're a team who feels like they are maybe one really, really good piece away from jumping right back into the fray with OKC, with Minnesota, with Denver to get into the top four of the Western Conference and stay there for the next 5 years with Domantas Bonus and De'Aaron Fox and Keegan Murray and hopefully Malik Monk. That's where they're at. So again, Kuminga is a player that's nice. He's nice like a couple of years from now, maybe.
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
No.
Yeah.
I'm that's just kind of where it's at. Somebody said it sounds like Kyle, me. It sounds like you want Katie or Paul George. Yeah, for the right trade package, sure. But I don't think that those teams are going to accept a trade package that the Kings would be willing to give up. I mean,
you never know what's going to be out there. That's what I keep telling you. You never know what's going to be out there. But
right. But so it's not necessarily that. It's just more getting known quantities. It's not necessarily a Paul George or Kevin Durant level player. It's just, I mean, it'd be nice for sure. But it's just getting a player that you know, hey, this player has had X amount of success in this league, and we know he can do Y and Z on both ends of the floor. And this is where he's going to fit in the rotation. We know this.
Yes.
That matters way more than, upside.
Yeah.
It's not where they're at, man. And I think that's an important note. And appreciate Mark for floating that out there so we could...
Sparking some debate. Yeah.
That said, I would not, if I'm the Kings, we're not doing that deal.
No.
Just to be clear.
No, not at all. I'm not, like, again, you can love Kuminga or not, but Kuminga is not to a point where he is a player who impacts winning on a really good team.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. Whoa, I'm clicking too many things. Okay, anyways. We gotta hit a break. Wow, okay. Hey, good idea or bad idea next? And then we'll talk about max contracts.
Yeah.
And... somebody on Twitter made a really good point about, we talked a little bit about max contracts earlier in this week and why maybe teams are going to start doling them out a little less often. And I think that this is a really, really good point that somebody on the internet made. And I think it ties nicely into what the Kings are doing this offseason. So we will do that coming up as well on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, welcome back in. That's James. I'm Kyle. Some good idea or bad idea? Got some fun ones today. Good idea or bad idea? It's something we do every single day where we take some headlines that we didn't really get to dive all the way into, and we just say whether the thing that happened in that headline was a good idea or bad idea. This is what happens when, you know what? I don't know what I'm allowed to say or not say on the radio. This is what happens when you enjoy yourself on the weekend.
Oh,
you get ideas like this.
Okay.
I'm done talking about Jonathan Kuminga, guys.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
talk about Jonathan Kuminga anymore.
I didn't want to talk about him at all today.
I know. Somebody, Securin DeMonk had a question that we will answer this at the break. If you would like to know what their question is and what our answer is to it, tap in at youtube.com/ESPN1320. We hang out during the breaks, and you can listen there. Also want to remind you, by the way, the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show is available wherever you get your podcasts. That is the podcast version of this show. So if you can only listen for an hour, only listen for a segment typically, you can get the entire show there. We upload each hour. We upload a clip or two. We upload the entire show. There's so many different ways to listen. So please download or subscribe to the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show wherever you get your podcasts. All right. Good idea or bad idea? Trading for Jonathan Kuminga. No, I'm joking.
bad idea, Kyle.
Josh Hart last night, as the FU Reggie chants were raining down at Madison Square Garden, Josh Hart, during a stoppage in play, I think it's during free throws, walks over to Reggie Miller, leans down toward him at the table, their broadcast booth there. Reggie leans up, and into Reggie's mic, Josh Hart goes, "Hey, I don't know if you can hear them, but they're saying F you." I don't know if you can hear them, though. And then walks away laughing. Good idea or bad idea?
I thought it was a hilarious moment.
That makes it a good idea.
I also think it will cost him some cash.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not allowed to... because he didn't say F you. He said...
Oh, he said the actual word.
Yeah, said the words that we can't say on the air.
He said the no-no word.
The no-no word over the air.
Like loudly. It wasn't... You know, sometimes they'll catch it on like the crowd mic.
Yeah.
When someone misses a shot and they'll yell an F-bomb, or especially in baseball, a guy strikes out, he'll yell the F-bomb.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, I heard it. He said it like as though he's talking like this into the mic.
Oh, yeah.
And just F-bomb. It's like, oh, my God.
I thought it was a funny moment, and it captures like the essence of that, of Reggie Miller versus Nick Fan,
mm-hmm.
like to a T. And not only that, but the fact that it was Josh Hart that did that, that he is the dude who is going out there and like playing stupid minutes. We'll get to that here in a sec. But the guy who is been such, he's the second story of this series without any question. And he was the second story of the first series too.
Mm-hmm.
Like his ability to impact a game, and for him to be the gritty dude who walks over and says that, I thought it was spectacular.
Yeah, it was so much fun and just a fun moment. He wasn't being mean or anything. And Reggie laughed about it. I think it was Brian Anderson on the call last night.
I think so.
Was like, whoa, okay. Like it was just a really, really fun moment. And look, I say bad words a lot. You say bad words a lot.
All the time.
Spoiler alert. And I don't even notice it when I'm saying it amongst my friends or whatever. When I hear it on TV, it's like I'm hearing a curse word for the first time every time. I'm like, oh, he said, hey, did you?
He
rewind
said it.
Rewind it. it's something I say in my living room. But when Josh Hart says it on TV, there's something special.
Well, it's like, you know, you have that friend who doesn't curse, and then when they do, you go,
oh, dude, yes.
Oh, like
whoa.
I think I heard Gary Gerald say a word one time, and I'm like,
Gary, stop it.
And I'm like,
you just, bro.
Wait, what?
Hang on.
He didn't drop an F-bomb. No.
If anybody's listening with children in the car, earmuffs, I'll give you 3 seconds to turn it down. 3, 2, 1. I feel like you just told me Santa Claus doesn't exist.
Oh. Well, first of all, he does, Kyle.
Oh, thank God. I thought.
Secondly,
you're telling me
there was a moment where even Gary Gerald had enough and said something. And I was like, wow.
That is stunning.
Wow. And I'm like, hey, now Jerry Reynolds is like what Kyle and I are talking about. Like, you catch me off the air, and I've even had fans sit there and laugh like
yeah.
I can't believe how many F-bombs you just dropped, dude, in that statement. I'm like,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mom, if you're listening.
My parents know. So, hey, guys. Tom Thibodeau, here's number two. Tom Thibodeau not letting his bench get a ton of burn. Josh Hart averaging nearly 47 minutes a game in this series. He's played all 48, or 47 minutes a game in the playoffs. He's played all 48 in the first two games of this series. 48 minutes last night. Dante DiVincenzo, 44 minutes last night. Isaiah Hartenstein, 39 minutes last night. Precious Achiuwa played 28 minutes off the bench. Miles McBride, 20 minutes off the bench. Alec Burks, 44 seconds off the bench. And that's it. They went 7 deep in the rotation last night.
That's not even like 7, like how we do like 9, 9.5 men. That's not even like 7, 7.5 men. That's like you literally just played 7 players.
And the only reason Miles McBride played 20 minutes was because Jalen Brunson was out for 16 of the 24 first half minutes.
Yeah, okay, so this is a horrible idea. And I feel like Tom Thibodeau is Toons is the driving cat from Saturday Night Live, and people might not know what that is, but
nope.
There's a guy who has a cat, and like he wants to drive, so he allows the cat, and every time Toons is the driving cat drives him off a cliff.
Hilarious.
And like, Toons is no, and car blows up.
Okay.
Like, that's what I feel like. Man, what are you doing? Like,
I'm sure Adam Silver loves it, because this is players not only playing in the game, but playing 48 minutes and busting their asses. Part of what makes the Knicks so fun is just
yes.
how freaking hard they try.
It's that Villanova vibe.
It really, you know what? I hate it, but it's true. Shout out to Jay Wright, bro. But no, but that's it. Like, these guys just try super hard, and Jalen Brunson is great, but I mean, Josh Hart is not a superstar. Dante DiVincenzo, not a superstar. Isaiah Hartenstein, not a superstar. No, but they just try so hard, and it's just effort, effort, effort for literally 48 minutes. I'm sure Adam Silver loves it. Jalen Brunson now has a foot injury. OG Anunoby has like a hamstring issue of some kind that forced him to miss the rest of last night's game after leaving early in the third quarter. Like, this is the path they're heading down. And man, if you told me that Jalen Brunson wound up missing a game and OG Anunoby was out a couple of games, oh, and look, Josh Hart all of a sudden is out of gas, and Josh Hart by game two of their Eastern Conference final series is just not quite as effective as he was the first couple of rounds. Like, yeah, dude, this is why. You're going to extend your minutes in the playoffs, no doubt. Like, that's going to happen. Benches shorten, rotations lengthen, but the amount of minutes these guys are playing, and not just the amount of minutes, but it's the high effort, high intensity, high energy minutes. I can't fathom that this goes for ostensibly three more rounds.
To me, it's crazy. And I know, like, this is something that players have done for years. Like in the olden days, the 90s, the 80s, guys played 48 minutes all the time. Latrell Sprewell played more minutes, and like he's the guy that always stood out, that just played
so many minutes.
But I would go back to the 2010-2011 season. Derrick Rose wins MVP, right? He for Chicago in his third season playing under Thibodeau, plays 37.4 minutes a game, just drove that dude into the ground. The next season he was averaging 35.3, and then blew out his ACL.
Mm-hmm.
Like, guys that play for Tom Thibodeau typically don't have very long careers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, guys, who was it? It was Tommy Lasorda.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his pitchers never, they lasted like six seasons.
Yeah.
And then he burned through them.
Mm-hmm.
Because all he did, like, it's every fourth day. I'm going to leave you out there,
right,
in the eighth.
You're pitching 12 innings.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm, these guys are literally going over 300 innings every single year. And you're like, okay, man, like, Fernando Valenzuela was not built to pitch that many, mm-hmm, innings. And you just kept doing it. And now he's gone.
Yep.
So I'm a little leery on that. And I don't like that he's doing it right now in the playoffs. Because I don't know if he knows this, but if you're good enough, there's two more rounds.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
There's two more rounds, man. How are you going to do this?
I'm here for it, and I like watching it, and I think the Knicks are super fun. I think it's going to ultimately harm their title chances.
I would agree.
All right, last one very quickly here. We got less than a minute. The Pacers are sending 78 calls that they have deemed wrong from the first two games of this series, sending all 78 to the NBA office. Good or bad idea?
Bad idea. The league already saw all 78. And then they watched him back, and then they did a two-minute report because, like, at least 43 of those 78 came in the last 2 minutes.
Insane.
When they didn't care. They didn't care then. They don't care now. It falls on deaf ears.
I think it's a fine idea because, yep, teams just do this all the time. You can't also be Rick Carlisle complaining about it publicly and then also send these calls to the NBA, which you know is also going to go public. It's just it's a fine idea, but in this specific instance, I think it's a bad one. It's just a bad look.
Yeah,
you're
just
getting
let
punched
it go.
In the mouth.
Yep.
Go play better. All right. We've got the handoff coming up with D'Lo, Damian Marling of D'Lo and Casey. He is going to be in today, I believe, and we'll also talk about this max contract stuff that I want to get to, and we've got some NBA playoff games tonight to get into. Plenty coming up in the final segment on ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Got the handoff coming up in about 10 minutes. I think it's Damian's turn today. D'Lo and Casey coming up at noon right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. I saw a thing online today that I thought was really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from at Bulls Blogger. Their Bulls blog is called Blog a Bull, which I think is a great name. They said, quote, "The Bulls had a Zach LaVine trade market problem where fledgling teams realized he's not good enough to be your number two. Now, in the new CBA, it's even worse. He's too expensive to be a number three on a contending team." And I think this is something that we're going to come across time and time again this offseason as player names get floated, as rumors start flying, as the Kings are in trade talks about this player, and oh, this player is now available, should the Kings go get him? This is a calculation that every single team, including Sacramento, is going to have to make and is going to be making, because it's now, there used to be luxury tax thresholds and all that, but now with this first and second apron, the penalties are much harsher, where it's not about like, oh yeah, we're willing to pay the tax. It's going to be, are you willing to A, pay the tax, and B, have to dismantle your team in the next couple of years entirely? Like, it's just a much bigger swing. There's a much bigger risk now to adding a player like Zach LaVine. And again, I don't want to make this necessarily about him in particular. I know he's a name that has come up for the Kings from time to time, but this is why something the Kings are facing this offseason is going to be so tough, because it's much harder when you acquire a guy like Zach LaVine now. Like, hey, maybe he makes sense for the Kings. Maybe you think, yeah, they need another shot creator, another shooter. He would help immensely. Okay, sure. But when you start talking about the next 2 or 3 years, it becomes really, really damaging to have a player like that if he's going to be hurt and if he's going to be your third best guy.
Yeah, so I think people think I don't like Zach LaVine as a player. Like, he doesn't play defense for sure, and he can be inefficient, but he also is the type of shot creator the Kings could really use. If the Kings were to lose Malik Monk, this is a type of player that I think would like make sense before you get to the salary. And that's the problem you have with Zach. And I think when you're building a team, you can make a mistake with a guy's second contract. Like, we're about to get to Keegan Murray extension, not this summer, but next summer, right? Mm-hmm. And the Kings are probably going to, you know, there's a good chance that Keegan's going to get the max for his years of service in the league. And the max for his service, years of service in the league is going to start. You know, De'Aaron Fox jumped from $7 million to $27 million. It's a couple of years later. We're probably looking at $30, $31 million, and it will go up. And, you know, that's one contract. It's this next contract where I think teams have made, like, gigantic mistakes in team building. So whether it's, you know, again, the 76ers trading for Tobias Harris and then giving him what it amounted to close to max money, that was crazy. And then the same with LaVine. LaVine, people remember, the Kings offered him, they had him signed to an offer sheet with a four-year, I think, $82 million deal. He signed the offer sheet, the Bulls matched, and then the next contract, I think it was the Bulls that matched, either that was Minnesota that matched. Then the next contract is when he got this, like, ridiculous money.
Yeah.
You have to be so good, and at that point, the team has to know that that's who you are. Like, right now, we're watching De'Aaron Fox. Like, De'Aaron Fox still has to solidify, not that he's a $45 to $50 million a year player, but that he's a guy that you could pay $70 to $80 at the back end of his deal on a monstrous deal. Like, I think he's there. I think he's really close. I think the Kings will probably do it. But there's also always that like, okay, what have we won? Like, where have we gone?
That's it, dude.
And with Zach, he's never won anything at all. He hasn't even led teams to some promised land.
They won a dunk contest.
Yeah.
One of the greatest.
He's fun, right? Well, yeah. De'Aaron is a functional two-way player.
Yes.
And a high-end scorer. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's top 10 in the NBA in scoring. We're talking about a guy who might not make an all-defensive team, but led the league in steals and will be in the top, like, 15, 20 defensive players.
He's one of the best two-way players in the league.
Yeah, right now he is. Like, he's developing very, very well at, you know, 26, 27. But that next contract, like, that guy has to be a 1A to get that deal.
1,000%.
And that's what's crazy, because even if we look at, like, it's almost called, like, the Jaylen Brown deal that we're talking about, right? Jaylen Brown's not a 1A on the Celtics. He's a 1B. You know, he can be the second best player, but at the same time, I don't even know if he's that. There are certainly nights where he's not the second best player, where Derek White is the second best player, or Porzingis is the second best player.
Jaylen Brown was the best player on a finals team, though.
Yeah.
He was their best player in those finals.
No, and that's why he got paid, right? And so I think I'm not putting Jaylen Brown in the same realm I'm going to put in put Zach LaVine in, but there are these other players out there that just get these contracts, and everyone, like,
can I give you a player who's going to get a max contract this offseason, and it's going to be a catastrophic mistake for that team?
Go ahead.
Pascal Siakam.
Catastrophic.
Pascal Siakam is going to get a max contract from the Indiana Pacers, and it is going to be an utter failure. And that's not, and this is where, because max contracts just became like, oh, you get a max, and you get a max, and you get a max.
Yes.
It's not going to be that way anymore. And that's not because Pascal Siakam is bad or ineffective. It is, hey, he is this level of player, and we need, it's teams are going to start assessing again. It's not going to be Indiana, because Indiana traded a bunch of stuff to get him. They're going to make sure they keep him. But I think they're going to fall short year after year because of it, because it becomes harder to build around a player like that when they're that expensive, and you start running up against the cap, and you start running up against luxury tax and apron one and apron two and all that. I think what you're going to start seeing, though, is you're going to see teams start calculating with Zach LaVine level players, where they're looking and going, hey, man, we can keep, again, I don't want to drag Zach LaVine. There are a bunch of players in the league in this tier,
yes,
but we can keep this Zach LaVine type of player for $70 million a year, or we can go add three really solid rotation pieces for the same amount of money.
Two of those are guaranteed starters, and one of them is a really, really, really high-level six man.
Right.
Like,
I think you're going to start seeing that be the way teams are built, instead of just, let's get as many max contract guys as we can because of this. You're going to start running up against the apron where the Pacers, small market team, by the way, the Pacers are going to look in a couple of years and go, well, they're probably going to max out Tyrese Halliburton, I imagine.
Yep.
He's on track to be that, so they're going to have Tyrese Halliburton.
I think they already did give him his max. I think, like, it hasn't kicked in yet, but he already got the max.
Oh, is he? I always forget that he's, like, been in the league. In my brain, Tyrese Halliburton's in like year two. But they're going to have Tyrese Halliburton. They're going to max out Pascal Siakam. They're going to look and they're going to go, hey, that duo is not good enough to win a title. And we have $14 to play with.
Yeah. Tyrese will make 35 and a half next season. 38, 3, 41, 44, and 47.
And Tyrese Halliburton, there's, again, like you just mentioned with De'Aaron Fox. If there's a question about De'Aaron Fox, not a question, if De'Aaron Fox still needs to prove it over the next season,
mm-hmm.
but Tyrese Halliburton's got to prove it more.
Well, that, and what people need to know is that's only Ty's second contract. So
yes.
The next contract is going to be even bigger. It's going to be wildly bigger if he continues the trend of where he's heading.
Yeah.
And you can, again, you can make a mistake here in the second contract. You can get a guy who you believe his ceiling is going to be one thing and he caps out maybe a tick below that.
Mm-hmm.
What you cannot do is max out an injury-prone guy. You can't max out a guy who you still think might project. The only guy that this kind of worked with is Embiid, where you had so little tape and then had to pay him, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really brutal. Like, even Greg Oden took a bunch of extra money on the way out the door for a player who was never going to play because Portland just couldn't just cut ties. Mm-hmm. You know, you gave up the number two pick in the draft and you passed on Kevin Durant, and you kept thinking, well, but when he does play, like, he's not going to. And so, yeah, I think this is really interesting because even where we started with this discussion is Zach LaVine probably isn't a number three on an NBA championship caliber team. He might be a guy who scores a bunch of points, but he's not a true number three.
That's trouble. Particularly at his contract number.
No.
Because of where that ties you up financially.
Oh yeah.
So that's something I think that, and we talked about this a little bit the other day. You could talk about this with football too. When you have a functional quarterback, you're going, okay, well, we have to pay this guy. The Giants looked at Daniel Jones and went, hey, we don't really have another option. Zach LaVine's better than Daniel Jones. I don't want to put it in that. But it's that same conversation where the Giants went, hey, we don't really have a better option and $40 million the going rate for a starting quarterback. So I guess here.
Well, he's like the quarterback that can get you to the playoffs but can't.
Dak Prescott.
Never wins a game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott can put up a bunch of stats, but...
That's the thing. It's like, that's not to say, yeah, don't have Dak Prescott as your quarterback, but it's like, no, you have a better shot of winning a title if Dak Prescott is your quarterback at $20 million a year instead of 40. And it's that same. But again, and this is where teams are going to have to adjust their thinking. And I think the team that is first to adjust its thinking in this way, I think will be ahead of the curve of, we have this really good player that we drafted. We think he's kind of at his ceiling as a player. We don't think he's going to impact winning. We think he's going to be like David Lee. David Lee is, when I think good stats, bad team, I think of David Lee. Where, yeah, he might get you a double-double every night, and he's going to, you know, go get you, we'll have a 30-20-10 game, and wow, look at how good he is, but, I mean, how good is he really? I think you're going to start seeing teams let those guys walk when, in the very recent past and up till now, we've seen teams go, well, we have to pay him.
Well, we have to pay him. Yeah.
I mean, we drafted him. He's got to stay. And I think you might start to see that thinking change.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting in the way that you build a team and everything else. And, you know, again, the Warriors are always going to be like the like shiny beacon. Right. And you could make the claim that, like, while, you know, Steph Curry deserves every dollar he ever got, and he deserves a whole lot more for that second contract, that some of the other guys there kept getting max money deals because they're part of a championship team, and like, they weren't 1As, and they were really good players, but if you took Steph off that team, they would be in the same place that a lot of other teams would be, or just like, ugh.
But also, the Warriors on accident were the first team to kind of do what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They traded Monte Ellis, and they just hung on to Steph. But
That was wild.
Steph, because of his ankle injuries, got like $11 million a year on his first on his
get a
on his
year,
second 40, contract.
48 or a 4 year 44.
44, 48. It was a cheap deal because the Warriors didn't know about his ankles.
Yes.
And that allowed them, and Draymond Green didn't get a max contract, and that allowed them to then go get Kevin Durant. Like they fell backwards into that. There was also a cap spike that year, which was a circumstantial thing.
Yeah.
But they fell backwards into that on accident. And like I said, with the way the CBA is set up and with these tax aprons now, I think you're going to start to see teams dole out max contracts less and be less willing to take on players of the Zach LaVine caliber. Damian Barling's here. Time for the handoff. D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. What's up, man?
We match.
Yeah, we do match.
You guys have serious conversations on this show. It's like a real sports show.
Yeah, we do sometimes.
That's good.
What are you talking about? We just did an hour and a half on the Drake Kendrick beef.
Oh, we were talking about exfoliating yesterday.
Oh, how'd that go?
It was good. We're just trying to put people up on game, the importance of exfoliating. I showed a picture from my early days in radio where I was with Keisha Cole, where clearly I didn't have a skincare routine, and it shows in a lot of my early memories in radio. They're very bad. It's like, why is your skin shiny like that? It's because I didn't know any better.
Oh. Well, I'm about to turn 73 next week, and so I think I look pretty good for
73? If you're 73, how old did DC turn today?
Are we allowed to say?
You're allowed to say Doug Christie?
No, I know that.
Oh.
How old he is, though? I don't want to put him on blast.
Oh, I don't even know how old Doug
is. He's 54.
54. Yep.
Oh.
54 big ones.
Yeah, no, Doug looks fantastic.
He looks great.
That's what bathing in seaweed does for you or whatever.
Yeah.
I used to think he eats seaweed, but maybe he bathes in it and eats it.
He does, I think every day he drinks
apple cider vinegar.
Apple cider vinegar with honey and cayenne pepper.
Yep.
Do you do that too?
I do not. That's a gangsta move by DC.
I tried it for a while and I'm like, man.
If I'm feeling a little sketchy, I do it because I get it. But like every day, like Doug does.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doug used to come in with like a whole, he'd come in with that apple cider vinegar. He'd have his tall Starbucks drink, which is some sort of tea, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of times he drinks soy latte.
Oh, okay. So yeah. he'd have that, and then
Spanish for I am latte. Keep going.
He'd have just a full container of blueberries, and that's what he would eat during his radio show.
That's how guys like Doug become professional athletes, because that's a level of commitment I cannot reach.
Well, that's,
I can't get there.
Well, that's why guys like Doug at 54 still look magnificent.
Exactly.
Like Doug is in phenomenal shape.
Yep. Oh yeah, top notch shape.
No doubt. All right, let's get this back on track.
See, we would have on our show, we would have done this for like, it would have been like 2:15. Like, all right, guys, let's go.
Okay, fine. Can you help me with a skincare routine? I don't have one. I get this face wash and I wash my face at night.
No.
That's what I've got.
We can help you with that.
Yeah, I got you.
I don't exfoliate. I got nothing for you.
Gotta use some vitamin C oil, some under the eye stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wear glasses all of the time because I'm sensitive about how it looks under my eyes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I got like a four-step morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See?
I wear glasses all the time because I just want to wear them.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, it works too. It works too.
That's right.
Blue light blocking.
Oh, I do that during the show. Yeah, no, that absolutely. Like those glasses I wear during the show changed my life. When we started this show and we'd be in front of the computer, even for the two-hour show, it's like, oh, man, okay. But when the four-hour show started, it was like, yo, something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said, well, try it. Like, for some people it works, for some people it doesn't. It may not be real, but for you it might work. And it absolutely works.
It definitely works
100%.
For me. Yeah, no doubt. Now I feel weird talking about the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I just threw the whole...
No, that's fine. I had a plan.
No, I got you. Let's go. This is good.
This is what I. No, that's what I need to be better at.
Better at what? You're great at what you do.
Adapting. Like, I need to take this thing because this is clearly a thing that you're interested in.
Well, you came from a different school of radio than I did.
Right, and that's why I need to work on it.
Yeah, it's, hey, TikTok, they're going to turn away. It's like, okay, All right.
No, but this is, but I came from that school, but I'm also a big believer, largely because of you guys. Well, I've believed this forever, but you guys really drove this home for me. If the people talking give a damn about what they're talking about, it will be interesting. Mm-hmm. I give a rip about wrestling. If it disappeared tomorrow, it wouldn't affect my life at all. When you guys talk about it, when you, KC and Jesse, get rolling talking about wrestling, I do not change the radio station. Because you guys care. Yeah. And this is a thing. You walked in and you're like, yeah, hey, skincare routine, da 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 da. And it's like a thing you care about. And I need to be better about recognizing that that's a thing that you care about and the direction you wanted to take this conversation.
Well, no, it
wasn't. Instead of trying to stuff it into a box and go, wait, we need to talk about the fact the Celtics are going to win by 40 tonight.
Well, no, the only point I was making is you guys were talking about like something like really like into sports. And it was like, man, good for you guys. We had at least 30 minutes on exfoliating. Like we did a segment on The Office. We wound up doing like an hour and 20 minutes on something Kenny thought of on the way into the show. Like sometimes it's just the Kings didn't play last night.
Yeah.
So
that's all summer.
Let's have fun.
Yeah. I think we talked like when I hopped on with you guys, I like the topic of conversation, like about big markets and star level players and all that stuff.
Yeah, it was. I was happy Kenny brought it up. I had read an article about the first round of the playoffs being, you know, the ratings being down a little bit in comparison to last year. And, you know, last year the Lakers made the run to the conference finals. The Warriors, as we unfortunately remember, they got out of the first round of the playoffs. I do think you had an exciting team in Sacramento going against Golden State, which probably helped, you know, a lot of things there. So I read the article. I wasn't particularly surprised that the ratings were down. There's a lot of newness going on right now in the NBA. And it just resulted in a conversation about how it helps that Boston's here, but I think it'll help more if it's Boston versus Minnesota or Boston versus Oklahoma City. I think there's a certain inevitability feel with Boston right now, and Boston and New York will do numbers if New York can make it that long. Because I'm really, I have a confession to make at the top of the hour regarding the New York Knicks, but man, it's just what they're going through right now. They're already a team, you know. Thibs is, you know, notorious for the way he plays his main guys. Mm-hmm. Right now, he doesn't have really an alternative, and it's getting worse by the day. Yep. And so as the guys on the broadcast pointed out last night, they, you know, while Nikola Jokic is on freaking vacation right now and the Denver Nuggets are off and the Minnesota Timberwolves are off for a month and a half before game three, these guys are playing every other day. And with what happened to OG yesterday, with what happened to Jalen Brunson missing an entire quarter before coming back, you know, it's fascinating. But they're going to do numbers. It's in the West. It's a little bit more. I don't know what to make of this. Jokic is, you know, performs his job with the excitement of a, you know, accountant. Mm-hmm. And then you've got, you know, some really exciting stars out there. Of course, you got Luka, he's a
player.
Polarizing. Well, I mean, he's a hell of a player, but he's also a guy that a lot of people are like, oh, Jesus.
I'm out on.
He's tough to watch.
He can be really frustrating.
Grind,
and that's
for sure.
And that's always been my thing with Luka is, when you sit down and watch him, you can marvel at his talent. But, man, he'll do 10 or 15 things during the game where you're just like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah.
Will you stop? Like, stop. And he makes it a difficult watch.
Yeah.
I think
so. The NBA is in this weird period right now.
Yeah.
I think so, too. And I think
we're going to talk about that tomorrow with something we didn't get to today.
Our entire show was supposed to be based on the handoff of the new stars from the old stars.
Mm-hmm.
And we never really got to it.
Yeah, we just never really got into it.
It's okay.
And part of that is because, finish up what we were talking about there, part of it too is the two-hour thing. You guys have four hours to get to. We're
sure.
There's times where I'm going, okay, hang on, okay, we can push this back, and then it's like, oh, we have 20 minutes left.
And that's another thing we understood too, because we lived in that world of 2 hours where what we do now, we didn't do then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even as we were trying to find our footing in this, we really picked and choosed our spots, especially because we had Danny in San Francisco looking over our shoulder. once that stopped, and you know, we went to 4 hours, he eased up a little bit.
Shoes off, feet
yeah,
up.
he eased up a little bit when we went to 4 hours and understood what we were doing, yeah. And then he went to podcasting, and you know,
shout out 24 Hour Sports. It.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, what do you guys got coming up?
Matt George, the final hour of the show. We'll talk some Kings basketball with him. We'll talk about the photo heard around Sacramento. And I got a confession to make about the New York Knicks, and it sucks because my partner's going to eat this up. But, yeah, man.
It's coming up.
I like the New York Knicks, man.
I do, too.
I like them.
They're really
lot.
Good for the NBA.
I like them a lot.
All right. D'Lo and KC coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.